Good. So we're discussing. We already discussed Shabbos, Tichu, Yehutra, and last we were doing Rav Moshe's tshuva about how a doctor should conduct himself. So one more idea that Rav Moshe addressed in that tshuva is: can a doctor flip his on call? Can a from doctor, a Shomer Shabbos doctor, flip his on call with a non Shomer Shabbos doctor? So the Rav Moshe writes that it certainly is permissible for a Shomer Shabbos doctor to ask ask the administrator to not be placed on a Shabbos or Yom Tov, even though that will probably mean that another Jewish doctor, a non-from doctor, will be placed on call. So that's certainly mutter. Because Rav Moshe writes, that's called lifnei de lifnei. Hezra advarim. Why can't I flip with a non-Jewish doctor, with a non-observant doctor? So the reason should be that this non-observant doctor may be home if he's not on call, and maybe he won't be doing melachis, maybe he'll be doing drabonans, whatever. Now, because he's on call, he's driving, and he's spending his whole day in the hospital doing all sorts of melachis. So therefore, I am violating lifnei v'sita in mirchshol. So Rav Moshe writes, it's a lifnei to lifnei. Why? Because I'm telling the administrator. The administrator now could choose several people. He happens to choose a non-observant Jewish doctor. So I didn't switch to the non-observant. I gave my information to the administrator. So that's a lifnei to lifnei is mutter. It's a lifnei iver, which doesn't have to happen. So Rav Moshe writes, that certainly is mutter. On the other hand, Rav Moshe writes, what happens if it's going to be a direct flip? In other words, the administrator made all the slots. And now, I'm casting around to getting somebody to take my slot. All right? So I go to McCormick, he can't do. I go to Smith, he can't do. I go to Chin, he can't do. Now, Goldberg says, I see you want to get, you have an important family event. I don't mind. In fact, I could use the Sunday. My kid has Little League on Sunday. I wouldn't mind being taken over Shabbos. So the Rav Moshe writes, that could be lifnei iver though. So Rav Moshe writes, yesh gam tam godol lahatir. It's an interesting lashon. Yesh tam godol lahatir. Af im yehudim sheinim shomer. What's the tam godol? Again, it's an interesting phrase. He says, because he can make a cheshbon that there will be some in the hospital, there will be somebody who is pikuach nefesh. Say, this non-observant Jew, if he'd be home, so we don't know what he would be doing. It's a good chance he's not going to be sleeping all day. He's a doctor. He's going to be, he'll do something, he'll put on his laptop, so some drabonans he'll do. He'll write, that may, it could be a day raisa. He'll watch a program, a drabon, he'll drive someplace, a day raisa. So he's going to be doing kama malachis. Now, if he's in the hospital, nope. So he drove to the hospital. All right, pikuach nefesh. He's writing a note. Pikuach nefesh. Hold on. He's being mesakin mana. All right, pikuach nefesh. So I'm doing a great favor. I'm improving his Shabbos. He's doing everything mutter. So yesh tam godol that it should be mutter. And it seems from Rav Moshe's maskana, he would be okay with that. What's that based on? So l'chaira, Rav Moshe's approach is based on a deeper understanding of lifnei iver v'sita in mirchshol that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank developed or discussed. Rav Tzvi Pesach had the following case. Rav Tzvi Pesach was the very, very much beloved Rabbi Rosh of Yerushalayim. Rav Tzvi Pesach is... I've met people who knew Rav Tzvi Pesach. I remember speaking to one old Yerushalmi many years ago, and I remember Rav Tzvi Pesach jumped up from a seat, such a covet. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was so beloved. He was a goyin adir, a Talmud Rav Kook also, but a goyin adir, and consulted Mikol Tvutz's table. They came to the Shilas. Yerushalmi, humble, and he was so beloved that Yerushalmi couldn't take on a Rabbi Rashi to replace him after he was nifter. It was a long period of time. maybe 10 years or much before Yerushalayim considered to have that to be a mamal makom. Ultimately, the mamal makom is Rav Zolti, also a goyim. But Rav Pesach is like a icon status, a class of his own. And you see from his tshuvas, it's just such a sensitivity. It's almost a warmth to his tshuvas. So Rav Pesach had the following shayla. There were four or five or six, I'm not sure how many, moshavim that wanted to get together to buy a combine. A combine is a machine that does ktsira and disha and zriya and beira and merakein all at once. So they wanted to buy this combine and they couldn't afford it. So they got a few moshavim together and they'll buy the combine together. One of the moshavim was the firm moshav. So the firm moshav turned to see Pesach and they say, if we're part of this deal, the deal is, I forget, there's six, seven, everybody gets the combine for a day. So one moshav will get it on Shabbos. If we don't go in, they can't buy it. So because we're going to go in and we're going to participate in buying the combine, so we'll get it on Tuesday. But somebody's going to get it on Shabbos. So we overlift the Iver because we are facilitating Chadib Trebin and Ara. They can't buy without us. So see Pesach discussed it. It's a long tshuva, and he says, and that's a long tshuva, but two columns tshuva, and he says, if you don't, that moshav is working in Shabbos anyways. If you don't buy the combine, that means there'll be scores of Jews who are going to be doing ksira, and they're going to be doing disha, and they're going to be doing zayra and bracket. Now you're going to have one Jew is going to be riding this machine, right? Maybe two, and they'll be doing malachas. So see, Pesach had explained that by lifnei you can make cheshbonos. And as if it's a chiddush, it's true I'm being over lifnei. Without me, this one Jew would not be doing all these malachas. But I can make a cheshbon. It's based on Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And he went makif and nikif. He says you see that ultimately you're allowed to apply a cheshbon lifnei iver. And if the sachar kol of the iver is going to be less mutter. So Rabbi Moshe has a similar. He doesn't quote his Pesach, but a similar mahalach. That you can make a cheshbon. Now, Rav Herzog has a similar discussion. He comes to a different opinion. His discussion is by Chayalim. Rav Herzog was the Rabbi Russian Eretz Yisrael also. The minds, these are just the minds that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave sometimes to people. Rav Herzog was just going out and learning. And as you know, he knew marine biology and he knew he was a lawyer. He studied law. I don't know if he was a lawyer, but he studied law. So his hekif, and his, besides his hekif, his humility. Because even if he was a goy nadir, he had a koilel, and the purpose of the koilel was to learn, but the real purpose of the koilel was like a think tank for him. So he would bring the, he dealt with some of the most difficult shalas. He was the one that with the post-war guna shalas. Heavily came to, he was one of the major addresses. And issues of setting up the state came to his door. So he had a koilel, and his koilel were, I think, if Pesach was part of the koilel, Shlomo Zalman at some time was part of the koilel, Tzitzel Yezer was in the koilel. You can imagine Rabbi Yosef was part of this group, and he would sit with them and to discuss, and it helped think things out. So you can imagine what was going on in that room. They wanted all Yosef to join the koilel, and he wanted to learn alone. So finally they prevailed upon him, Fridays he would come. So he was part of the Chabur on Friday. So Herzog raised a tshuva where he says that the chayal is on duty. So he wants to go on for Shabbos, but another chayal who's not Shemir Mitzvah will take over for him. So Rav Herzog has a long tshuva where he discusses the propriety of making cheshbonos of the Iver, and he quotes the Ritva that we often learn in Lomdus in Bav Mitzi at the beginning. The Ritva says that if I contribute to somebody doing more isurim, so that is lifnei iver, right? So even though I give my sheep to the roya, so the roya is taking his sheep and kicking the sheep all, and then he's doing gezel over and over again because he's taking sheep from many, many people and they're robbing people's grass. Am I allowed to give him my sheep? So Herzog says, so the Ritva says, he can't give me your sheep. Hi, the man, there were 1,000 sheep, they're all doing gezel, 1,020. So that he'll do a little bit more gezel. So Ritva says, no, that's a fneiver. If you think more, so Herzig says, so I don't, how can I make a cheshbon? I know how many surgeons going to be doing. So, and I know, because of me, he's going to be doing more research. So maybe it's true that because of me, he'll be doing some less research. But maybe because of me, I'm going to be giving him more shepsula. Because of me, he's going to be doing things that he didn't have to do. So Herzig is concerned about the Ritva. And then Rav Herzig writes, and even if you don't pass like the Ritva, and even if you'll say swears against the Ritva, he says, but how can it one Jew say to another Jew, I'm Miyayish and your Shabbos? How can he say, you'll be, that I'm Miyayish and you're keeping the Shabbos? Can't be. So that's ultimately why Rav Herzig does not allow for the switch. That one could very well say that the non-Shomer Shabbos Chayal in the 50s is not the same thing as the non-Shomer Shabbos doctor in 2018. Could be that, and that's why Eretz Yisrael took a Poskim Pasuk Eretz Yisrael and American Poskim Pasuk for America. Could be that when you're a doctor in the hospital and you want to switch with another non-Shomer Shabbos doctor, it's not interpreted as being Miyayish and Shabbos. It's just not part of the calculus. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, and Shabbos is part of the debate post Shabbos, against Shabbos, Kfiyadatit, opening to Anak, so Shabbos is present. So then it could be that it's a very bad message. But in America, I don't know if sure that's really the cheshbon. Good.
So according to the Svar of Moshe, that would imply that if you're the administrator, you should adopt to try to have the irreligious people be working on Shabbos.
Yes, I don't know. He doesn't go that far. He doesn't go that far to say that. Each time, go to Lahatir. I'm not saying the cheshbon is in cheshbon, but I don't know. First of all, you get a reverse discrimination suit against him if he does that. So, and I don't know if that's good. That Namish is Miyash, another guy's Shabbos. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not saying you're totally wrong, but Ramesh didn't go that far. And again, Rav Herzig surely would not. Yeah.
Rav Herzig would not accept Rav Ticha as a famous
Saka. Probably not. Probably that's where they. Yeah, the end, he does. Because Rav Herzig is another Ha'orah. And his Ha'orah is that according to the Rambam never quotes Trey ibn Nara. So according to Rambam, Chad ibn Nara is an Yisrael Raisa. So Rav Herzig also was concerned about Chadanar. Now, if see Pesach, I believe, probably would say the Ram is a Das Yochan, the Rav is a Das Yochan. And even Rav Herzig's Shuva, I don't know if at the end of the day, if he wouldn't be concerned about the being Miyash, another person's Shabbos, whether he would have been Machriya, that he has to be Machriya. It sounds like from the Shuva that he wants to be Machriya like the Ritva. And he's and as a tziruf l'chumra, he has the Rambam, and the hachral l'chumra is because of this. That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
The sort of making cheshbonos in the neighbor, is that the same thing that Shlomo Zalman does with the water to the non-Jewish person, the non-religious person will make a bracha?
Could be a similar thing. Could be similar, right? Shlomo Zalman has a ha'ara that if I offer. A non from plumber comes to my home. If I offer him a drink, he's going to end up drinking without a bracha. So can I offer him a drink? So if Shlomo Zalman writes, if I don't offer him a drink, then I'm doing lifting even leisisna. So he will bracha. A Jew comes to my home, I want to offer him a coffee and offer him a drink. So I'm not sure if it's the same thing. There it could be that the two lifting evers. When he says it, he doesn't want to get involved in this. He says it's a lifting even leisisna. He will bracha. No, so that lechara is a could be a little bit different. Yeah.
The Ritva, I would think that if the Ritva is saying that you're not allowed to contribute to an evening greet up there, then you would get that Ritva in the opposite direction. So I didn't understand the Naya from the Ritva for not sharing.
The Ritva is that his additional mice, I am responsible for his additional mice again. So therefore, once you become responsible for that maisa, that becomes like my maisa. So I can't make cheshbonos. Well, he's going to be doing other. That becomes my problem. It's like there's a lomdish mahalach in lifnei iver whether it's also for me to be goyrim or that it becomes my avera.
Right. I guess so. I would have thought that if one little sheet makes a difference for negative, then it should also make a difference for positive, that I should have not a better thing to be a chayal on Shabbos than to...
Right, so the Ritva's idea is that that's my maisa gezel. So once I take a chrys for it, so then I should not, the fact that I can be mamait other yisurim for him doesn't give me the right to do a maisa gezel. Those are, as we said, three very important parts of Ramesh's tshuva. Number one, how Duchuya translates into the practical lives of a doctor. That's number two, taking care of in a Yehudim and Shabbos. And number three, changing relations between the Shomer mitzvahs and the non-Shomer mitzvahs. And sometimes, even to this day, people are skeptical as to whether Rav Moshe's very, very strong application of not treating an Eino Yehudi is tantamount to Sakonis Nefashos. So I'll tell you two Maisish, two true stories. One is that there was a prominent from doctor in Colombia, goes back maybe 15, 20 years ago, and there was a baby who needed a heart, and this doctor noticed that the heart transplant team was not as aggressive as they usually are in getting babies' hearts. So he didn't understand that. Usually everybody's knock-a-dick, they're working together. And this time it was on they went on high speed. They were on six cylinders, not eight cylinders. They weren't Vashlonim. So the doctor asked, why are we not working at the same speed? Am I missing something in the case? So one doctor came aside and said, it's an Orthodox baby. And we know that the Orthodox, they receive but they don't give. Right, so that was, it was said quietly, like they say nowadays, everything's the newspaper is full of on the promise of anonymity. Everything in the newspaper is on the promise of anonymity. So it was said anonymously, but it was said. It was said, I know the person whom it was said. And the second thing that you should know is a piece of history is in the 70s, something called the Shachak Affair. And that's where there was a motorcyclist who went into Kikar Shabbat, and he was pelted by stones, and I don't know if the cyclist the equivalent of Tzolo with a lack of speed, and ultimately I think they found that he wasn't a non-Shomer Shabbos, he was not Jewish. And I don't know if he died or if he suffered a great injury, and it was picked up by a journalist called Shachak, and he was mefarsh this whole thing, that we did not respond to a non-Jew who was injured because it was Shabbos. And became, and you can, there are two articles, where Aaron Soloveitchik wrote an article, goes back to probably the early 70s about Darche Sholem. Darche Sholem is not just a tool, a gimmick in halacha, but it's part of the bedrock of halacha. And Rav Untum wrote a similar. Why is it important to know? It's important that this never ever occurred, never happened. That after a few months, it was revealed that Shachak was a journalist who had learned halacha that v'chai b'hem only applies to Yehudim, it doesn't apply to any Yehudim, and he made a blood libel against us. Never happened that there was the cyclist and he fell and he was pelted and he was left alone. Never happened. But you see from the sinner that he created in a short period of time, and that's what Rav Moshe wrote. whatever happens is out there in a very short period of time. So that's why when Rav Moshe writes that it's pikuach that a pikuach nefesh for a Yehudi, pikuach nefesh for a Yehudi, even though al pi ashkof we look at things differently, not because we're mezals in anybody's chiyus, but because the kedusha Shabbos is something just beyond us. That's the people misunderstand things. The kedusha Shabbos is something of just an ordinate kedusha, but halacha lamaaseh, practically speaking, pikuach nefesh for every people, all people is treated in the same way. Now, so that is, are there any other things you want to discuss in the areas of pikuach nefesh? So there are two issues of that are next to chayli sheyesh basakana, and that is the next category is chayli she'ein basakana. A chayli she'ein basakana is still a chayli, he's nafal lemishkav. A chayli she'ein basakana, halach is that we would allow a mir l'nachri, and in certain situations when a nachri is not available, we would allow even a some drabanans, and we would also allow tuda shvus to shvus, because taking care of a cholish she'ein basakana is a tzarech mitzvah. So what defines a chayla? So the chayla is the Aruch HaShulchan's lashon is she'ein biyacholtoi letzeis mi pesach beisa. The classical terms that we use for chayla is in nafal and mishkav. It's a chayla she'ein basakana. They were mati derabbanans. A chayla she'ein basakana doesn't have to fast on the taniyas derabbanan. So nafal and mishkav a chayla b'chol gufay. So Aruch HaShulchan expands the idea of nafal and mishkav. Is not only the pshat that he feels so shvach has to lie down. Ein biyachotu letzeis mi pesach beisai. He's not able to ambulate properly, get around properly. Yesh chalushim ibnei michushim. He says that sometimes a person can just be so shvach and so weak that they can't do what they normally do. So those are nechlash. So that's how his haylech bechvedus of achalishus. So that sometimes is then further defined as when a person is not mitafkeid, he's not up to his, he's not doing what he normally does. He can't carry his normal routine. So those are the ways that we describe a chayle she'ein basakana. Chayle she'esh basakana means that there is a suffix sakana, that he's in a situation where if not treated, so then not treated by the end of Shabbos, then God forbid he runs the risk of having in a life-threatening situation. As I was preparing for this year, so I came across something that the Rabbi Dr. Abram's approach to the CPAP machine. CPAP is a new tool that helps a person breathe. Right? It's one step up from an oxygen mask. An oxygen mask delivers oxygen to the nasal cavity. Or sometimes you'll see people have the tubes that bring oxygen. That is to make oxygen more available to a person. More available, easier to breathe. The person's oxygenation is down. The blood has a lower level of oxygen. So they have to. That means they're not breathing enough oxygen. So the teep pull is to help them breathe better. Okay, so that one way to be able to be better is just deliver the oxygen and then deliver oxygen-rich oxygen. So that's one round. Then there is a situation where somebody's having some kind of breathing issue. He's able to function. He thinks he's functioning normally because he's had this breathing issue for decades. And then he goes to a doctor, and the doctor does a workup and says, "You're not breathing properly." But they do a sleep test, and they find out that this person is waking up. He doesn't realize he's waking up because he thinks he's sleeping. But he keeps on moving from deep sleep to light sleep. Deep sleep, he doesn't realize it. He goes to sleep and gets up. He functions the way he functioned the last 3 decades. The doctor tells him that he's not really functioning at his maximum capacity because he's not getting good night's sleep. So what's the T-pull? The T-pull is to be on a breathing machine, which apparently, I don't understand this fully, but apparently one of the reasons why a person may go from different levels of sleep is because of different of access to oxygen-rich oxygen. So, but are able to allow the person to breathe better. So this machine not only brings oxygen to the nasal area, but actually helps the person, it pushes air in. So it forces the person to breathe. And apparently the thinking is that by regulating this person's breathing over the course of the night, he gets a better night's sleep, and he becomes a better functioning person, and he becomes a healthier person. However, the studies go a step further. Studies believe that if a person does this tipul, he will live longer, because the studies believe that being a bad sleeper for decades and decades ultimately has a negative impact on various human organs. There's a Harvard study of sleep. Harvard study of sleep said it was a lumbar study. So is that we often think that sleep is to help us be awake, right? So as long as I'm awake, I'm getting enough sleep. So the Harvard study said, no, sleep is not only to help us be awake, sleep is a function within the bria, which helps the different parts of the body rebuild itself, which it can't do during waking hours. So therefore, the Harvard study said, if a person doesn't sleep enough, ultimately, certain parts, certain organs of his body are not going to be at their fullest. So the CPAP people believe that CPAP is not just helping you function Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but CPAP is helping you live 118, 119, 120. That's because you're on the CPAP machine. So zat pikuach nefesh. I remember discussing with one doctor, Einstein doctor, and he was, because what's the issue? The issue is, can you use the machine on Shabbos? If it's going to add years, so you can use it every single Shabbos. Pikuach nefesh. It gives me another day, 20 years from now. That's pikuach nefesh.
Can you turn it on Shabbos?
So that, yes, that's the question. That's the shaila. I can use it on Shabbos. With one Einstein doctor, he's totally dismissive. From doctor, a person in his field, totally dismissive. Says it's ridiculous. If you use it six nights a week, you'll live as long as 7 nights a week, right? And I think he was Merchel and Yom Tov also. So that was his malach. And the other doctors were not so sure. They're saying, no, if you don't do it once a week, so then your body will suffer as a result. Halacha lemaase, it's not such a difficult issue because the CPAP machine can be put on a timer, right? Lemaase, it's a drabanan, putting it on. There's no deraisa, putting it as a drabanan. Right, it probably is. It could be a misaken mana. It could be that according to certain achronim, it would be a binyan deraisa because it's dysfunctional, and when you turn on, you make it functional. Shmuel Zalman may hold it's a boina. Could be. Most I think would say it's misaken mana de rabbanon, and it might be a muktzah de rabbanon, maybe not because it may tzoch makoyma, and applying it, putting the mask on. Not a drabbanan, but it's mutter. So you can put it on a timer. Some manufacturers say that their machine does not work well on a timer. In other words, if it's initiated by a timer, that it, I don't understand the mechanics behind it, but they said that it will, the machine of the CPAP machine is not built in such a way that it can handle on and off by a timer. Again, not an engineer, not a designer. Don't know. So the question, then it comes down to this issue. If one is dismissive about it, so why do we make it all together? If it's not going to, if losing it one day a week means that, if we don't have studies to show that from Shomer Shabbos CPAP users die earlier than the control group of non-Shomer Shabbos CPAP users, so how can you argue that one day a week is going to make a difference? All areas are chiddush. On the other hand, if you say that it could make a difference, so in Dr. Abraham's book, he does subscribe to the idea that it should be used in Shabbos, but he does say to use it with a timer. So I don't know what he would say. He does seem to take it seriously. He's not dismissive. He does not say, yeah, once a week's not going to make a big deal. But that is as far as we take pikuach nefesh. That it's not only a sofek sakana right now, but a sofek that I may get an extra day in a few decades from now. It's also pikuach nefesh. Again, how it applies in the CPAP machine? after Imal Shulchan Malachim to figure out some of the details. So the but a cholish she'ein basakana is a person who is nafal lemishkavai. If it's a Tuesday, he doesn't stay in his office. If it's a Tuesday, he goes back home and lies down. Right? That's ein yosef yisach beisa. If on a Tuesday he plugs through the day, then he's not a chayla. Then he's a healthy person. He's not feeling well. He's a bore with the mechush, but he's not a chayla. If he wants, if he has to lie down, if he's not yetsim yisach beisa, or if he's not, this is the broadest definition, he's not mitafkeid, he's not fully functioning. So then he's a chayla she'ein basakana. For a chayla she'ein basakana, we readily are mekel on a miral anachri. We would tell a nachri to go to the pharmacy and get a medication. We would readily deliver, transport the, and depending on the need and severity, we would certainly do a shvus to shvus. Would we do one shvus? So it depends on the need and severity if we would allow for one shvus. There are, I think, Achrayim will only allow, Shulchan Aruch has different shittas, who allow for a shvus if it's not a drabbanan that's ikori b'tayra. And there Achrayim will say, you try to get a guy, you try to do a shvus that is in the ikor b'tayra, but achrayim kol hasakol, if you have to use a shina, you can use a shina. So that's for chayla she'ein basakana. So how do you categorize certain kinds of chayla? So if let's say chayli nefesh. So chayli nefesh are treated as a chayla she'ein basakana. If we are afraid of a person being going into depression, so that's treated as a chayla she'ein basakana, because in a person's depression, there's a loss of control. And besides, God forbid, just being dangerous to themselves, moving from depression to suicidal is, unless you have a professional that can tell you it's not going to happen, you have to be choshesh, always. Doesn't mean it will become suicidal in the next 2 hours, but if God forbid, a person falls into a dikaon, a depression, so we don't know if we're going to be successful, when we're successful, how we're going to, you lose control. God forbid, they could hurt themselves. So dikaon, depression, is a chayla mesukan. Right? What about other forms of, let's say, anxiety attack? So I don't know if those are, if a doctor will say, this is anxiety, it's not going to lead to dikaon. The two are very, very closely connected. If the person knows themselves, they get this anxiety, this panic attack, they get these intrusive thinking, they don't become, and they can no longer function properly. So then there's certainly a chayla she'ein basakana. Certainly, if one has to go to send a goy to get the pharmaceuticals, certainly. But anytime there's a fear of a psychological presentation which could lead to depression, and maybe even broader than that, or something that which things which are related to depression, that's already a chayla mesuka. And if you don't know, then the stuff is a problem. Then, what about sakonas eiver? Rachmana l'tzlan, a person slipped, hurt themselves, and they fear that that they may have broken a limb. And so the last 20 people that they knew who broke limbs, we're not in life-threatening situations, and they got cast in, and they get x-rayed and cast in, and were taken care of. So should they take Tylenol and Motrin and let's say Shabbos? Go. Right? So halacha l'maaseh, the answer is no. Anytime there's a sakonas eiver, without a doctor saying otherwise, you have to be choshesh for sakonas nefashos. I heard this many years ago from a retailer, and Dr. Abram writes the same thing. Why? Because anytime there's a sakana seva, you don't know what is out of place. So you don't know if a limb is out of place and leaning against a blood vessel. And if God forbid leaning against a blood vessel, then God forbid get an infection, you get a blood poisoning. So since you don't know exactly what's happening, you have to treat a sakana seva as a sakana seva, unless a professional will tell you this is, you don't have to worry about this is a broken limb. Now, if this professional says, here you have a broken limb, I don't think a professional will ever do that. because without a scan, without some kind of picture, I can't imagine that they would say that. But let's say in the theoretical world, so that's why halacha lamasa, anytime that there is that kind of situation between a zakas and fashas, what happens if a doctor would say 100% borer that there's no blood vessels there, there's nothing to worry about, this is not a zakas and fashas, will you get, if you wait till after Shabbos, will you regain full function of this limb, full motility of this limb? So that is, that I can't assure you. So that, again, halacha l'maisa, this has never come up, as far as I know, because there's no metzias like that. But sakonas eiver, Shulchan Aruch writes that sakonas eiver is a chol l'shein b'sakona, not a chol l'shesh b'sakona. Now, there are some achrayim l'melhoel who invokes Rabbeinu Tam. It says a sakonas eiver is to be treated as a sakonas nefashos. L'chari, the pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam is, I think he writes, because ultimately the mental status of a person who has lost function of a limb is so precarious that therefore every sakonas eiver is really sakonas nefashos. So that's talking about a sakonas eiver where we know, or we have the reason to believe, that there's no sakonas nefashos. So that's a very, very difficult situation to be put in. Would we be soymech on the das yochid Rabbeinu Tam? Hagalach l'maisa, again, even in the new Mishneh Berurahs, Rav Nevensal in the Koril Yitzchak Haaretz, quotes of Shlomo Zalman in Shin Chav Chas, says that halach l'maisa, we treat sakonas eiver as a sakonas nefashos. Yeah, there's a question? Yeah.
Does sakonas eiver mean that you're going to lose the limb? Not just that you broke it?
Sakonas eiver means you lose function of the limb.
Meaning they have to cut it off?
I don't think so. I think, if God forbid, one would lose, if it become a useless limb, God forbid, if it lose most of the function of the limb, I think that's sakonas eiver already.
What does Rabbi Yotam do with the Gemara and Beitza that says that the only reason why Ari will be kachalim is because it's connected to the heart? Because it's a shadows of Chinese impressions?
Well, with the kash is that you're seeing a sakonas ayin as a sakonas eiver necessarily.
Yeah, because of the heart and the eye.
Yes, I'm not sure if he. Yes, I'm not sure if he sees sakonas ayin as.
The Gemara sees it that way.
No, I'm not sure if he sees it as sakonas eiver, though.
The Gemara sees it as sakonas nefashos because
of it. Right. You're asking, why did the Gemara have to say sakonas nefashos? Why did the Gemara could say sakonas ayin? Right. He also may not have seen that the sakonas ayin may not be loss of vision in general. That's why he may argue. I can't say, I'm speculating. But, yeah.
So am I, if a kid has a broken arm or leg, you call an ambulance?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
So what's the follow up then? If someone gets to the hospital and they say it'll be fine till after Shabbos, and you're in the matzah of like. And do you have to tell them not to do anything?
You're in the emergency room, and they do the scans.
Because you're and then they do everything and tell you.
Right, and then they say you have to be casted. Yeah. So again, halacha l'maisa, it's very rarely a question for two reasons. Reason number one is because nowadays the common practice is not to cast right away. What's the malach that's going to happen? To put on a splint, no malach. Right? It's an issue of refuah. Refuah we probably make in this case. We'll explain that next time. But actually doing a plaster Paris cast, so that could be malacha, that could be losh. Right? Could be memoreach. So that's your question. So halacha l'maisa, it's rare that doctors put on casts in the ER. Nowadays, usually they put on splints, the way the swelling goes down, and put on the cast a few days later. But let's say this is, take your question, and let's say the doctor says, you know, we're going to put on a cast, and then you ask, can we do this later on tonight? And he says, that's great, I'm not going to be on later on tonight. So someone else will do it for me. So l'chayra, if it's a and you ask, then you ask the doctor, and you say, will there be any improvement in the outcome if we do it now or do it later? And for some reason, the doctor says, yeah, we have 1,000 studies that show no difference in outcome. So if it's a Jewish doctor on call, and he's sure that there's no change in outcome, which I guess he should do later on. Since he split me, now we'll come back later on. If it's a non-Jewish doctor, so it might be a dieted den of shoy. In other words, if he's the same doctor we'll be on now and on later on, he may rather do it now. If I say to him, you know, we can come back later on, what would you rather do? He might say, I'm crazy busy now, come back later on. He might say, you know what? I'm here, we're done it, we just did the studies, let's do it right now. So I guess the answer to the question is, if it's a Jewish doctor who'll be doing the casting and there is no change in outcome, number one, that the later casting will be totally equally effective, and the proximity between doing the studies and the casting, and there's no fear of further damaging because it's not, or they'll immobilize without a cast. So I guess then it makes sense to wait if all these things line up. Yeah. And I doubt if they would, but it'd be enough community for Shari Tzedek, maybe. Yeah. I have to figure this out. They probably have non-Jewish staff that takes care of the casting in Shabbos, probably. Good. So that is. Then there, by a choyle misukon, there is a question about kol tzrochov. Right? Well, let's do one more interesting thing before we do that, and that is stitches. Right? Let's say a person gets a laceration on Shabbos. All right? So, do you want to get stitches? So again, it's the same thing. If on Tuesday you would go in to get stitches, so on Shabbos also, what's the heter? Because an open wound can become infected. In fact, and the infection is a chayla makash l'cholol, and it's a sakana. So then we should be sewn up. Okay, good. Now, let's say you have a dermatologist or you have an ER doctor in shul. So you bring over the ER doctor and bring over the dermatologist, and they say that in terms of infection, they have a certain number of hours, that there's no studies show that there's no increase in fear infection between now and X number of hours. You can do it later on. Okay, so Pasha says the bleeding has stopped. And and the fear infection can equally be taken care of later on. Good. So we'll do it after Shabbos. And then they say, however, the cosmetic outcome will be different. In other words, if we do it now, the chance of having a scar-free result is greater. After Shabbos, no infection, but the chance of a scar-free result has been reduced. Right? Or, let's say, you're from doctor and you're on call, and a patient comes in and they have to be stitched up, so then you could do 5 stitches and there's no fear of infection, but you'll get sued left and right because there's really a scar there, and that's not standard practice. Standard practice is to do 10 stitches, to do 20 micro stitches, and 5 large stitches, whatever it is. Every stitch is a tefira and every stitch is a kesher. There is another technique of doing several stitches and one kesher at the end. But those are the malachis. So, you know, it's a very difficult situation right now because pikuach nefesh, 5 stitches. But avoiding a scar, 20 stitches, 20 malachis. So you're allowed to do 20 malachis, maybe 40 malachis. It's fever and the kesher. So there are several, and the same thing with the parent. The parent has a child. The doctor says, sakana, we can do this after Shabbos. But scar-free, so that's a very difficult thing for a parent to say. It's a big nisayin, big nisayin. It's not even your goof, like it's Baruch's goof, it's your child's goof, it's even more. So Shlomo Zalman and the truth of Moshe Sternbach have two mahalchim that both are very creative. First of all, both the Shlomo Zalman and Moshe Sternbach say that the tefir is a tefir d'rabbanan. Why? Because sewing up the body is not like sewing up in the Mishkan, not like sewing up a Uriah. So different that it's not a malacha de'raisa. Right? It's the kind of thing that you need a Ashley Rabbi to be so clear in that. And then, I think Moshe Sternbach says that sewing up, stitching is not the same as sewing up. Right? When you stitch a garment, that's because you want to create, you want to create a beggar, you want to keep the garment going, you want to keep the weave together. He says when you're sewing up the body, you're closing an opening. You're closing an opening so that it will grow together. You're closing an opening so that no infection will get in. When you're stitching a garment, you're not closing a hole. You're making it back. It's a different kind of malacha, different gufa malacha. So then that is very, very solid grounds to say that the tefira is a din derabbanan. Now, once it's a din derabbanan, the Rav Shlomo Zalman has a very mechudish to Yerushalmi kind of a chiddush. He says that is cosmetics a reason to do an Issa d'Rabbanan? So he says, well, you see from the Bris Milah that the tzitzin ha'ma'akvin is mishum noy mitzvah. And the tzitzin she'en ha'ma'akvin are even mutter, as long as the tzitzin ha'ma'akvin has mutter, because that's the Bris Milah. What about tzitzin she'en ha'ma'akvin? So Allah is, once you're doing the Bris, you can do tzitzin she'en ha'ma'akvin. Eichatesa. Because it's noy mitzvah. So you see that noy mitzvah, so noy mitzvah, you see noy, is the reason to be Decha Shabbos. So Moshe Sternbach says, what we're all saying is, because Baruch Hu said this is noy mitzvah, what's that got to do with a scar free? So that's Shlomo Zalman's Malach. He says that, see, because Baruch Hu said, noy mitzvah, noy odom, it can be Decha Shabbos, it can certainly be Decha a mitzvah derabbanan. Rav Neivan Sal quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman saying an interesting mahalach, which you can only say in this kind of a setting. You have to be more, have to know to say it more PC in a different kind of setting. He says that certainly for a woman, if a scar in a certain place could be a chayle she'ein basakana. Why? Because it means that the body is not mitafkein the way it's supposed to be mitafkein. Right? Again, it's a mahalach, it's easier to say to say it in Hebrew. Learn the Shalosh learning. How to say it in English, you have to figure it out. But he says that is, it means that Achol Yishemus HaKana, you can do the Rabbanans. Achol Yishemus HaKana means that the Eber is not Mitafkei. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu made the Bria in such a way, and the Bria is for certain people. Now the truth is, Rosh Shlomo Zalman was talking about women. The emphasis is that studies show that men also, that if men have scars that are very visible, often it makes it hard for them socially. Often they've done studies about hard for men sometimes to get jobs if they have. So whereas there's been an egalitarian sweep, that scars for men are also probably not on the same level as scars for women, but apparently it could be enough to say that we should be able to make on a derabbanon in certain situations. Why is it, there's a little bit of a chiddush over here which I do not know how to address, and that both Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Moshe Sternbach understand that the kesher on the stitch is also a derabbanon dika kesher. I can only speculate as to why they would say that. And it could be that Rav Moshe Sternbach was talking about, I think it's called a string stitch, where you only make a kesher at the beginning and the end, and without the kesher, the tefira doesn't hold. So since the tefira, so I guess you have to do some. You have to do some. The concern for infection is matter the kesher and the tefira. I have to do a kesher beginning and the end. Most often, from my understanding, is the common standard practice not to do a string stitch with two kshuvot either. And although I recently had a conversation with an ER doctor, and he said he thinks that the outcome, the cosmetic outcome, will be the same. But the most common practice is to do stitch kesher, and the kesher holds the stitch in place. So that would mean that we're also holding that kesher is a drabon dika kesher. That the stitch is a drabon dika kesher stitch because stitches are not for bodies, are not to hold things together. That I understand. But both Rosh Shlomo Zalman and Rosh Sturmach were very aware, and it's not that they were unaware of how stitches are made. So they also held that the kesher is a drabon dika kesher. So I'm not clear on that, but lachar, that's what they're saying as well. Question?
Is the kesher, if you do like stitch kesher, is the kesher then essential for keeping the...
I'm sorry? Is the kesher essential for...
For keeping, I guess, like the stitch in the body, like, I guess...
Yeah.
Intact.
I think so. I mean, I'm a very yeshivish answer, but looks like it to me. No, that's the purpose of the... Without the kesher, the stitch becomes... doesn't hold.
But the issue is just being able to reduce it to a derabanan.
Correct. Once we say it's a derabanan, so then we can be makel, number one, for chayla she'ein bo sakana. It requires some lumbas to say that. According to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, you can do it because noi haguf, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, is choshev enough to be matir the tzitzin she'ein makvin. Moshe Sturmbach also the Mishum Kavod Abrius. Mishum Kavod Abrius, we can do Drabanan. So, God forbid, there would be a significant. These are very hard things to be Mishar. But once we understand it to be a Drabanan, so then, and we further understand that a bad cosmetic result could result in. In a lack of kavod abrius, in a cholish ein vasakana, because he's not mitafked, or because of the importance of noi, so that's why we can be makel once. Again, we're talking about a Jewish doctor or a Jew doing the malacha in order for the better cosmetic result. But halach lamasa, what I would advocate is to the parent to go to the ER with a non-Jewish driver, and then you have to make sure that you get good medical care. You know, that's always a separate question. If your child requires stitches, do you let the ER doctor do it, or do you ask for a plastics surgeon to do it? That's a parenting question.
You're saying the parent goes with the child?
Always.
In the car?
Always. I mean, there's no other option. Right. Okay. I mean, it goes further. That for stitches, I don't know if an adult has to go with an adult. But for anything other than something that's postured, for a child, first of all, the child will not get treatment. Second of all, apparently, will be arrested if he sends a child to the ER without going with. And but you can never send a child alone with a cab. That's a chalal. That's a sakana to begin with. But minosaf al zeh, that nowadays when a chola goes to the ER, they need to have an advocate. Right? You have to imagine a person who's sick goes to the hospital. So nothing happens unless you're on top of the ER, because the ER people are overwhelmed. They're overloaded. Right, so if you're a patient, they'll take good care of you. I'm not casting aspersions, but they're taking care of so many other patients. So they'll do a test and come back. So you need to have somebody there who is pressing the ER people to move things along. Otherwise, right? That's number one. Number two is somebody has to make decisions. You have to for this decision, plastics or ER doctor. A chayla can't make a decision. Chayla is so mubuha. It doesn't. Chol can often can. Let's say a person goes in with tremendous with a makor shel cholol, some stomach problem. Right, so severe they have to go to the hospital. They're not thinking to make sure that the ER doctor is is not a first-year resident, right? They're not thinking to that they happen to have a GI doctor who has a whole file on them, and she gets, so they always need an advocate to just to, number one, to negotiate the ER properly, and then help them make decisions. So not having an advocate is a sakana. So whenever a adult, again, it could be that if a adult goes for a broken finger, for maybe then, right? But if an adult goes for anything other than, they have to have a... And we're advocating in this case, from a purist perspective, you could even probably do a deraisa to make sure that this chol has an advocate. But it never comes to that, because you can always take a cab, and if you come 10, 20 minutes later, and having an advocate very rarely is, have to be there within the next 10 minutes. You get there. So it always means going with a non-Jew. Okay, I apologize for coming late. It was, like I said, it was Uman Tovas Yeshiva. It wasn't Samasari. It was.
What about doing the conversation? The lights go. Is that